Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 40. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room on the big world map puzzle over here. Last podcast was the interview with Maggie of Red Ted Art, sharing her crafty adventures. So if you missed that one, then pop on over to the blog to download the show. It's show number 39. Or subscribe in iTunes and you won't miss another episode. This week's show, I'm sharing an updated resource about places to find play activities, and I want to talk about mums from around the world. Stay tuned for the weekly find about hand raising and sign language. I'll be right back after this short break.
Let the wild rumpus start!
You could be the world's fastest runner, life's greatest explorer, or be the king of your very own world.
I want you to be king forever.
All you have to do is go where the wild things are. Run, jump, laugh, and most of all, howl.
See? This guy gets it.
For fun playtime ideas, go to smallstep.gov and let your wild rumpus start. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back. I wanted to talk to you today about the September Raising Playful Tots Index. Now, this is an index that is compiled of the 100 blogs that show play activities that are suitable for children that are under 8 years old in the style that we are used to with the play activities blog that I run and this show, Raising Playful Tots. So these are unplugged play activities, activities that we can do at home with our children, we can do with parents. They are interactive play activities that require us to do work and the children to do work together, or for the children to do work by themselves. This is the second time that it's been updated. I compiled the list with Nicole from Planning Queen and we worked together on this list. We have looked at the first time we looked at about 150 blogs, and this time there was, I think nearly 200 blogs that we looked at, and we look at how they inspire us to play. The first set we found, blogs from our feed readers, from people that we knew, from people around the blogosphere that we'd come into contact with. But we have always asked for submissions because, of course, we don't know everyone, and you only know your friends and your friends' friends. And let's face it, there are a lot of us out there talking about play and doing some amazing play activities. Now, this Raising Playful Tots Index isn't a place for you to feel that you have to produce amazingly perfect play craft activities. That's exactly not what it's about. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to do this type of index was that I'd spoken to quite a few parents and said, what activities do you do? You know, just to get different ideas for myself. And, you know, I like to talk about play. And lots and lots and lots and lots of parents that I'd spoken to had said that they don't want to do craft activities because their children can't do them right, because they don't look right at the end. They see these beautiful pictures in books and magazines, and I guess on blogs too. And these pictures look amazing. And you wonder, can a child really do that? And they were worried that their children weren't doing that, so they just kind of gave up. But there is a middle ground. There is a ground in the middle where you can produce really amazing ideas and you can see the process that the children are going through and you can see the product that they've made. And I felt that those blogs, those books, those magazines weren't really highlighted as much because you just didn't get a chance to see them. And so that's what the Raising Playful Tots Index is mostly about. It's about inspiration, creativity, and it's meant to make you think, okay, I can do something like that, or I can do exactly like that because I've been looking for something like that to do. It's meant to be a resource that you share with friends that you think, oh, I'm really looking for, I don't know, a snowman activity, and I don't want to do anything with cotton wool. So you can look through and have a list of other people that you can go and look at. And, you know, the great thing is once you go to their blogs and you see the amazing work that they've done, you can look at their blog roll and see other people that they like, which are probably going to be similar to what you'll like too. You can subscribe to their blog and just be enthusiastic about all the things that they do and comment, or you can just lurk and have a look at some of the pictures and be inspired too. So this latest Raising Playful Tots Index is the September one, and it's an aggregate of a quarterly look at all of the blogs that have been listed. See, if you've listed the blog once, you don't need to list again. There is an option to be able to sign up your blog. Your blog needs to be at least a year old for it to gain any momentum in the list. We've had quite a few people that their blogs are quite young and they've tried to submit their blogs, and it won't give up enough information. The way that we aggregate all of the metrics for the September Raising Playful Tots Index is based on a lot of commonly known things that you can find online to do with search engine optimization and search engines. And so if you have a new blog and you haven't dabbled much with SEO, search engine optimization, then it's going to be very difficult to find you. I see it as akin to, you know, you can open a shop in the middle of a really busy town and city, but if you don't do anything for advertising, if you don't tell anybody about it, then you're only going to get a few people that are going to pass by, and then that's just word of mouth. And that's very similar for the Raising Tots Index. Search engines need to be able to pick up your information. You need to have been out there visiting other blogs, linking to other people for the metrics to work in your favor. So it's not that we don't want to have new people on there, but it won't work to your advantage, and you will look less than what you really are. There is a subjective element to it that we have included to help the whole process, but that's a very tiny amount of the whole basis, because we want to keep this as objective as possible. We want a place that you can come and find 100 quality, inspirational, creative, fun blogs to really excite you about play. To excite parents that are looking for ideas, to excite you as a parent at home, to just get you all excited about things. So you can find the latest Raising Playful Tots Index at the blog. That's raisingplayfultots.com, and if you look for the September Raising Playful Tots Index, then you'll find it. You can look along the menu at the top. You should find a button for index so you can look. There you'll find badges. If you were listed and you're one of the top 100 blogs that we have aggregated, then you'll find a badge there that you can wear. And it says, I'm in the top 100 or I'm in the top 25. You can see whether you've gone up or moved down or stayed the same, or you're a new entry. You can also recommend this list to your friends. So you've got people that want to do some activities but really haven't got a clue about where to start. Or maybe you are a childcare provider and you have parents that drop off children and are looking for some activities to do when they have the children at home. Here you go. You've got a ready-made list of people that you can show them with a huge range of activities. So they can be Montessori activities, they can be Waldorf play activities, they can be preschool activities, some of them are Christian-based activities. They can have no affiliations with anything at all. It's just parents that are having an idea and have shared it. We have homeschooling parents that have got an eye for all the homeschooling work that you can do. They appear on here too. We have preschool teachers, elementary teachers, or teachers of all kinds. We can't stop teaching. They have blogs on here too, as well as parents and people who just love play. That's the most important thing about this index. These are all people that have a strong heart for play. So if you're interested in finding some activities, not just seasonal activities, but activities that you can do any time of the year, if you're looking for quality play ideas that you know that work, not that you've seen in a book and think, I wonder if that will really work, but you actually want to see that it's actually worked because you've seen the children actually making it, you've seen that photograph, then check out the Raising Playful Tots Index.
Hi, this is Dr. Roberta Gollenkopf from University of Delaware, author of A Mandate for Playful Learning in Preschool, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Okay, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update. It's been a little while since I last recorded the last podcast, and there's been a lot of things that have been going on. Those of you that have been with me for some time know that we were originally living in America and that we are a military family. My husband is in the Air Force and he's deployed currently in Korea, and I'm at home with my three little ones. And we recently moved from the States in July back to my home country of the UK. And it's been great. It's been great to be home and to be around. It's very different from when I was last here. It's probably, I don't know, 9 or 10 years since I was here last. And so everything is different. And raising children in the UK is very different after you've raised them in the US. You wouldn't think so, but it is. And not in a bad way. It's just different. We were living in one area and then we've had to move. And so it's been really difficult repacking and putting everything together and moving the children to school, because they'd actually started school in September. My middle one had started reception. My older one is in year three and my youngest is still at home with me. And it was bittersweet. The school that we were in was amazing. We absolutely loved it. And we knew that we'd be able to find another school that was amazing too. But it's just the upheaval of moving. And being a military family, we know that moving is part of what we do. But to move so quickly, from July we moved, and then in October we've moved again, it's been hard. Hard. So with all the packing, unpacking, sorting out, doing things, and having to do that as well by myself with the three children, kind of things have had to go by the wayside. So I'm hoping to get back on this horse, and I really want to be podcasting. I really want to be talking about these play activities and the play stuff that we're all doing. So don't forget to keep sharing those play activities and play ideas. But that's kind of why I've been in and out. And in the move, we had to get new internet, phone, all of that stuff as well. And so that's taken a little while to get what we need and get everything set up the way you need it to. So I think I'm almost there, and we'll see. I guess now would be a good time to talk about you guys. What play activities have you been doing this week? Or in the last couple of months when I've been on and offline, have you been able to keep up with the kids? Have they led you in different directions? What are they doing? Why don't you write in and tell me? You can email me. If you go to the website, you can find the contact information, and that's melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. If you'd like to email me and tell me what's been happening with your kids, or maybe you want to write a comment on this blog post for this show and tell us what we're doing, and you can share it. I've had a few people that have emailed in and told me about their blogs and the play activities that they're doing. That's great. I love to share. So feel free to email me about what you do on your blog or what you do in your community. Maybe you're a play leader. Maybe you have a play group and you want to talk about what you do and how you get play done in your week. I'd love to hear from you. One of the many benefits of being in the military is that you get to meet so many different people and be in different places. I can't tell you how many different houses that we've lived in, probably more than I can count right now. But the most exciting thing I found is the different types of people that you meet. It's amazing to think that people can be so different. It really does expand your horizons. And so I wanted to talk about a new part of the show I'd like to introduce to the Raising Playful Tots podcast called Mums from Around the World. When I was living in the States, I was really interested in how people played with the children in the under fives. It was vastly different to the experiences that I'd had when I was in the UK. Although I didn't have children in the UK at that time, it's what I saw, and then when I visited, what I could see. And I spent a lot of my time with my first child in Italy and seeing how they played with their children and what they did. And now I'm back in England, so. And not only that, within the military area, you see a lot of spouses from different countries and how they play with their children. So it's a real melting pot. You get to learn how people play so differently in different places. And it's so interesting. Things that we do that we take for granted, things that we would never ever do or think that we would never ever do, people do. I can remember a really funny story. When I was living in Italy and I had my first child and we were looking at baby food and we went into an Italian baby food shop. I've talked about the story on my blog, I think, and I saw a picture of a rabbit on the side of the jar and I was like, oh, really? No, that it can't really be a rabbit on the side. It must be the logo. And as I looked along the side, I could see a fish and then another fish and all sorts of different animals on the side. And I realized that in Italy, you can buy rabbit baby food. And I was like, no, absolutely no way can you do that. And then I thought, well, you know, why not? So it's really interesting. You get whether you should or not wasn't my point. It wasn't my point whether you should have rabbit baby food or anything like that. It was the fact that it really made me think that if you can be so different with food and it not be a bother, then what else can it be like? Play. Do you play differently and allow your children to do different things? You know, for some people, it's okay to watch television for an extended period of time because the quality of the program is very different than another country. And so it's very difficult to... I think we have to be careful when we talk to other people about what is the right thing to do and what isn't the right thing to do. That we aren't just stuck on what culturally we do, that we try and expand our mind and see what other people are doing in other places and learn from that and make our own choices. Make our own choices about how we want to play. Not that we have to play in this manner because so-and-so said so, or the government said so, or these people over here said so, but because you have weighed up the options and thought that this is the best thing for my child, my children, my girls, my boys, my stepchildren, my family. And this segment, Mums from Around the World, I just wanted to have a chance to interview mums that live in different countries or mums that are from different countries and for them to share what their experiences of play is like for them in their country. Because when you have that conversation, it's amazing how people sit down and you can talk for hours about how differently we do things. And it doesn't mean that what we're doing is wrong or what they're doing is wrong, but it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So if you're a mum from around the world and you don't mind an audio interview, then I would be really interested in interviewing you and you sharing a little bit about how you play. I have some questions already that we can talk about, and we're going to have one of those interviews next week with Mum in the Madhouse and learn a little bit about her and what it's like raising children in the UK. So if you'd like to be part of Mums from Around the World, then drop me a line. I'd be very interested in hearing from you. Can you believe that it's been a year since this podcast was started. It's just, wow, it's just gone so fast. I published the first show, I think, around the end of October, beginning of November, and certainly December the 2nd, I think, was when I did my first interview with Mara Kaplan with 50 Toys in 50 Days. And in fact, she's doing the same thing again this year. So if you go back and look into the archives, and if you go to the show notes and you look along the top where it says shows, you should be able to see one that says RPT, Raising Playful Tots, number 2, Mara Kaplan, 50 Toys in 50 Days. And you can listen to that show and learn all about what Mara does just before Christmas each year. The reason why I'm telling you about the fact that we've been going for a year is I have absolutely loved doing this show. It's been a real learning curve, learning how to use all the equipment, pull together all the ideas and the resources. And, you know, the best part of this is meeting the people, talking to the people that you're interviewing, and just learning more and more about play. Since we've been going for a year now, we're now eligible to be entered into the podcast awards. And this is an opportunity for you, the listeners, to nominate this show, Raising Playful Tots, as an entry into the podcast awards. You know, like with most things, you do things because you love it. You do things because you want to share the information. But it's also nice to be recognized. And so if you think that this show is worthy of being entered into the podcast awards, then I would love, love, love it if you would consider entering this show, Raising Playful Tots, into the podcast award. Now, to be able to do that, you have to go to www.podcastawards.com, and there you can nominate me. And you would need to be able to put in the podcast name, which is Raising Playful Tots, and our URL, which is www.raisingplayfultots.com. And you'd put in your name and your email address so that they can verify it. Because you know how it is. With all competitions, there is an element that want to skew the process to their benefit. So to try and keep everything above board and make sure that nobody's cheating and nobody gets entries falsely or anything goes wrong. And so you can go there to podcastawards.com, and if you think that Raising Playful Tots is something that you would like to nominate, it's a show that you've enjoyed and you want to give back this Thanksgiving time, this Christmas time, a way that you want to show your feelings, then please consider doing that. The category I was considering would be educational, but I'll leave that up to you. I'll leave that up to you. If I'm nominated, or once I'm nominated, then people get to vote, and it's by popular vote. And so we're up against all sorts of different people. If you are into podcasting, you will know that there are some huge podcasts with huge audiences, and so obviously their voting ability will land them much higher up on the list. If you have other podcasts that you listen to, then consider nominating them. Certainly if you don't want to nominate me, then consider nominating them, because there are some amazing other podcasters out there that are doing amazing things. And the one thing we all have in common is our passion, our love, and our time that we put into it. And it's nice to be recognized in some way for that. So there you go, podcastawards.com. If you're listening to this after November, then forget everything I've just said. I want to take you back to your classroom days. Remember when you were sitting in a classroom and the teacher was up at the front? They asked a question that was open-ended enough that it could give many, many different answers, and everybody's hands shot up. And the teacher had all of these different people that they could choose, and he goes to the first person and says, "Scott," so that Scott can give an answer. And Scott says, "Sir, can I go to the bathroom?" "Yes, Scott, go to the bathroom." Then they go on to the next person. "Wendy," thinking that Wendy's going to answer the question, Wendy says, "Clara's taken my pencil and she won't give it back." Clara, give her back the pencil. You move on to Toby. Toby, do you have an answer for me? Do you remember those times when the teacher asked the question and there were so many different answers that came up that by the time the teacher asked you, you couldn't even remember what the question was or what you were going to say, and you're all flustered and you just think, oh, why did I do that? Well, still happens. We still have classrooms, especially when you've got the younger kids, when they're in preschool. They may not be sitting in an environment where they sit and put their hands up all the time, but certainly when you're going around and asking them questions, we've all had them, the four-year-olds, the three-year-olds, that you ask them a question and a minute, 2 minutes later, they're still talking. And then you have to move to the next person and that person has fallen off their chair. They don't know what you were talking about. They found something really interesting underneath the table that they wanted to investigate. It kind of just spirals out of control. I still have that same problem at home. Talking to the kids about something and I ask an open-ended question and one of them starts talking, and it's great because they're talking and they're explaining and they're really getting into their story. And the second person, it's their turn to say something and I forgot. Or they're dancing around next to you and you're like, stand still. And they're like, but I need the toilet. And they've interrupted you and you're like, ugh. It can be really difficult to kind of get that balance right. That classroom management, that management of children, that way to interrupt without interrupting. Well, I stumbled across Rick Morris and his newmanagement.com website. Now, at the time of recording, his website was down, so it's really difficult to talk about something that you can't see in front of you. But at the time when I saw the website, I was amazed. He has a system of sign language. Now, let's face it, some of us use sign language at the very beginning. And at a certain point with our babies and our toddlers and our preschoolers, we stopped for whatever reason. Some of us continued and know that it's great to know the toilet sign, especially when you're in company and they can't yell across the way, Mom, I need the toilet. But they can make the sign and you're like, great. And you can indicate to them where to go. Also the I love you sign. That's kind of cute to be able to do, especially as they get older, because they don't like it when you give them all those kisses, right? And so he has this whole system of hand gestures where instead of just putting your hand straight up in the air with your palm facing out, so like a big handprint like most of us do, he has different ways that you hold your hands. So whether your hand is a pointing finger with your hand straight up in the air with a pointing finger, or whether it's a fist, whether you have the little finger extended, all of those hand gestures tell you what the person wants. So, okay, let's go back to the first situation. You're in a classroom situation. You have asked an amazing question. You have lots of hands have gone up because they want to tell you the story. They want to tell you their story, their answer. And now you can see who wants to go to the toilet and they're not going to be answering your question. Who has another question that they wanted to ask that's related to the question that you've asked, but it's not the answer to the question that you've asked, and so that they would take you off tangent right now. Or maybe you need to take them off tangent. And he has a whole list of different signs that you can teach your class to be able to put their hand up in a way that means that you, as the person at the front, can see what is going to come back to you without there being this distraction. And so you can work better for the children, because that question that child wanted to ask that is slightly off topic actually will be a good question to have answered. But instead of you just saying, we can't answer that question right now, and ignoring them, you can say, answer the question from a child that is trying to answer the question, and then say, hey Maria, what question do you want to ask, or what did you want to say? And you actually bring them in. And I was thinking, wow, what an amazing classroom management idea that would be. And also at home, now okay, our children at home don't stand in front of us with their hands up making signs, but I'm sure there must be a way of adapting that instead of, you know, younger siblings just butting in and pushing in and saying things, that there must be a way that you can work it out, that you can have a signed system at home that they can say, I need the toilet, apart from the jigging up and down that you see. Okay, maybe the jigging up and down, but usually that's a bit late for 2, 3, 4 year olds when they're jigging up and down. They need the toilet right now. That there is a way that they can get your attention. It could be a sign for, I'm bored, mummy, stop talking to your friends and I want you to help me. Or it could be a, can I do some painting now? And there'd be a sign for that. I don't know, what signs can you think of that you would love to be able to teach your children that they could do to you so that when you're doing something else, you would recognize what they need? If you want to know more about Rick Morris, then you can read all about his classroom management techniques and things that he has used with children in the classroom that can be applied to parents and to children, whether we have play groups that we manage, or we have play schools that we run, or parent groups that we belong to. You know, the managing of groups of children, he has an idea that we can all use for that. And you can find, hopefully his website will be back up at newmanagement.com. Newmanagement.com. If not, I'm sure you can find his books on Amazon, and certainly you'll be able to find or order them at the library. So if you can think of any signs that you would love to use with your children at home, let's get creative. Let's think of some ideas of signs that you really want your kids to learn. Okay, some basic ones that you can do are the toilet sign. Now, you can do the official sign language for the country that you live in, or you can make up your own sign. That's fine. You can do an I love you sign. You can do, what else? Why don't you write in and tell us and share it with us? There's many ways to communicate with all of us here at Raising Playful Tots. You can comment on a blog post and leave a comment there. You can subscribe to our newsletter and reply to the email that's there. You can email me directly, and you can use the voicemail number. You can also send a recorded message in, and I'll be able to play those on the show too. Okay, it's time to wrap up the show. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 40, for the week of the 14th of November, 2010. Come on over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.